reality show fine. Verses 29-34. Jesus heals many. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was.
That's great, thank you. Let's see. So the location for where this story takes place is in a little fishing village called Capernaum. And this is where some of the disciples worked as fishermen. It's also a place where they prayed, as there was a little synagogue in that location. And also it was a place where some of them lived. And we focus in on two brothers, Peter and Andrew. And they lived in one of the houses in this little fishing village. And they didn't just live together, but their whole families lived under one roof. So we know that Peter was married, and we know that Peter had a mother-in-law, as we read in our story. We're not quite so sure about Andrew and his situation, but there were a number of them living under one roof. And that can sound appealing to some of you, maybe not quite so appealing to others. But there is something quite special and quite wonderful, especially for those of us who maybe live far apart from our families, to imagining at least living in the same village, if not in the same house as our immediate families. And today you can actually go and visit where we believe Peter's house was. So what you can see there are the remains of a church that were built in the mid-4th century. And there is ancient graffiti written on the remains of this church. And the claims that are made on this graffiti, always trust what graffiti says, it's always correct, is that underneath this are the remains of Peter and Andrew's house. And it's quite likely, because it's never said where Jesus lived or what kind of home Jesus had, because he was likely a bit of a sofa surfer as he went from place to place, sleeping on people's sofas, it's quite likely that he actually slept at this location sometimes as well. And on this occasion, Peter and Andrew and their families, along with Jesus, have been to the synagogue to pray and to worship. And Peter and Andrew invite their friends James and John and also Jesus for dinner after synagogue, after church. And that's something that we can all be encouraged to do as well, isn't it? That we, where we have the opportunity to, where we can invite our friends from church over to lunch after the service has taken place. Or whether that's possible or not, there is someone that we can all invite to lunch after church. And who is that? That is Jesus himself. We can invite him to be spending that special time with us. And so that's a really good thing to do. As they get to the house, Peter and Andrew are telling Jesus that Peter's mother-in-law is very sick, that she is suffering from a fever. Now, we can't be exactly sure what kind of fever that was, but suggestions are made that it was actually malaria. The little fishing village of Capernaum was, of course, on the coast. It was on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, which was low-lying water. It was a very humid place, And just as how you have malaria in all sorts of different parts of the world today, so malaria was quite common there. And so perhaps Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from malaria. Jesus is asked to go and minister to Peter's mother-in-law and to give her healing, which is exactly what he does. Now, throughout the Bible, we see Jesus healing people in a whole manner of different kinds of ways to show different things about himself, but also in being sensitive to different people's needs. And in this instance, he holds Peter's mother-in-law's hand and she is healed. Now, if ever you've been sick before, you know that after you've been sick, when you start to feel a little bit better again, it takes a long time to recover. But such was the power, such was the influence, such was the love of Jesus that the mother-in-law's healing was instantaneous, was full and was complete and was instant. Even to the point where she was so sick and so ill that through being touched on the hand by Jesus, she was able to get up from her sickbed and she was able to make dinner for Jesus and also for the rest of the family. And here we see a really wonderful pattern of the Christian life. Jesus ministers and heals and restores Peter's mother-in-law, and her response is to serve him. And in the same way, I hope many of us here have experienced and encountered the grace of Jesus, that we may have received his healing, that we have received his forgiveness, that we have received his life, that we have received many promises for our future life as well. We've received so much from Jesus. What is our response going to be? Is it going to be just to hold on to everything that Jesus has given us for ourselves? Or rather, are we going to give something back to Jesus? What we can give back to Jesus is our service. In this instance, it was the mother-in-law making dinner. And that's not really something that we can do for Jesus, is there? But there are so many wonderful ways in which we can serve Jesus, pour out our love for Jesus as a response to what he has first done for us. In these little villages, just like villages today, you can't keep anything secret. Everyone knows everyone else's business. And so before the day is out, news has spread of how Jesus has done this miraculous work in Peter's mother-in-law. And so there's a knock at the door. If there was a doorbell, it would have been constantly ringing. And Jesus opens the door to the house that they're staying and living in. And they see a whole crowd of people from the village, from the town, people who want to meet Jesus, to see whether what they've heard about Jesus is actually real, and to actually receive help from Jesus in a whole manner of different ways. Jesus doesn't peer through the curtains, through the net curtains, and think, oh golly, there's so many people, let's pretend that we're not in. He opens the door and he takes the time and the effort and the intention to help every single person who is there. It would have been an incredibly long night of all these individuals queuing up and waiting to see Jesus and receive encouragement, receive comfort, encourage healing, and receive healing as well. If you then read on in your Bibles, which of course you can do because many of you have got them in front of you this morning, which is brilliant, you'll see that very early the next morning, Jesus got up and he went to a quiet retreat and he went to pray. So even though the night before he knew, look, I've got a really early start tomorrow morning, he still took the time to stay up well into the night to be helping other people. Jesus, as we know, never went on any crazy long mission trips. We see other people in the Bible who travelled very far distances, and amongst us, we've travelled very far distances to share the good news with people. And yet Jesus himself never really did that. Instead, his kind of mission was more of a staycation mission. And yet, 2 billion people all over the world worship him today because of what he did just in the house of Peter and of Andrew. His mission didn't begin and didn't start with buying a plane ticket. His mission started by opening his front door and looking out for people in the community. And this idea of mission starting in the home, mission going from home to home, is a really powerful thing that we see in the Bible and also something that we see as well across our world. And so in the book of Acts we have this. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they, the disciples of Jesus, continue to teach and preach this message, Jesus is the Messiah. Right in these early days, followers of Jesus were going from house to house to house to house, sharing the good news and the power of Jesus. A really exciting thing. We obviously have our friends over from China this morning as well. And it reminds us of the house movement that happens in China, that in many places in China, the churches are regulated and controlled by the state. And so there are many people who meet in homes and instead meet as churches in homes. And you could just have to see just how Christianity has spread in that nation. Something a little bit closer to home, where Hannah and I have got our house in Essex, there was a movement some years ago where some missionaries came to someone's house, knocked on their door, shared the gospel with these people. These people believed the gospel, took it on for themselves, had this new desire to share this gospel with others. And so rather than getting a plane ticket to go somewhere else, they just went to their neighbours and they knocked on their door and they said, we've just heard about Jesus. We want to tell you about Jesus. Those people then accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour for themselves. And what did they do? They didn't buy a plane ticket. They went next door again, knocked on the door, told them about Jesus. And this happened along a street in the town in Essex. And it just shows you the impact of going from house to house and knocking on doors and opening your own door and seeing what God will do. As I said, above the remains of Peter's house, you have a church which was built around 300 years later. And now what you have is on top of that, you now have a much more modern church. And it does look modern, doesn't it? It looks like something from, like, out of sci-fi, or it looks like it belongs on Tracy Island or something, doesn't it? On top of a house, you've got a church, and then you've got another church on top of that. And although it's a great building, it makes me a little bit sad that they felt the need to build a church building, something which is so rigid, something that is so limited, on top of this wonderful house. And how wonderful would it be if we could depend just a little bit less on these places and rather depend a little bit more on our own homes and mission coming from our own homes. So let's remember to bless those who we live in, who we live with. Those people who have those immediate needs, people that we can be praying for, people that we can be encouraging, people that we can be giving good, positive words to in our own homes. May we all develop wonderful relationships and reputations for having happy and welcoming homes. And may that not just be limited to those who live in our house, but also to the community as well. There's all sorts of different ways that we can be missional in terms of our own homes. A simple thing is just to be polite when someone is trying to sell you a new driveway, that you don't just tell them to shove off, but actually you show care and you show love to them. Next time you get a takeaway, remember to tip and to tip well, so that as people leave your not great driveway. They know that there are kind people, maybe Christian people, living in that house. Some of you do a wonderful thing and have a pile of Bibles by your front door so that when someone comes to visit, a plumber, electrician, whatever, they're offered a Bible before they leave. We've got over 500 Christianity Explored flyers still hanging around. Take some, put them by your front door so that when the postman rings your doorbell, or when someone else who you think is probably local rings on your doorbell, that you can just give them something back. I'm sure postmen don't often get post given to them, but it's something that we can do. Invite people over to your home. When they come over, pray for them as well. We all have different living circumstances. For some of us, it may not be so easy. It may not even be feasible. But what different ways in which can we make our homes welcoming and missional in a wonderful way? Kids even have a particularly powerful way of being missional in their own homes. And that's something that I'm just going to be sharing with you, an example of that in a few moments' time. So my encouragement for all of us today is for us to be thinking about being on mission at home, to be thinking about staycation, seeing our homes as centres of mission. I was given this wonderful thought, this wonderful vision by one of my mentors recently. He said, how amazing would it be if, rather than just depending on these church buildings every so often, that on every street in every town there was a missional home, something that we could call a church. And that would be known throughout the street as the place to receive help, receive care, hear about Jesus and his transformative work. If we have, 10% of people regularly going to church in this country, most streets have got more than 10 houses on, which means that potentially on most streets in the UK there are people who have a faith and people who are Christians. How wonderful would it be if these homes could be opening their doors and be showing just their street that God is present there and that they can go there and be welcomed there. May we all open up our front doors and see them as a way of opening up God's mission to our community in Sidcup. Amen.